Hey guys, it's Em. We're back after a ridiculously long life hiatus. This time we are going to be talking all things strange, Stranger Things, and a bunch of tangents, because you know us, that's what we do, with our very good friend Matt Catanzano. So, listen up, strap in, and get ready to geek. Chat about stuff and things. This time specifically about our newest obsession.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
I've watched it twice.
Okay.
All the way through.
As you should.
I did it once. The first time I watched it in like 2.5 days. The second time I watched it in a day.
Wow.
I watched it the second time while I was working on something in my sewing room.
Hey, you don't have to defend that. That's fine.
No, I'm marathon.
I was impressed. I wasn't a judgmental wow.
Oh, okay. See, I mean, I don't know you as well as some other people do. So
that's true.
I had to take it with a grain of salt.
As some other people, not everybody, but
not
some
everybody
people.
Some other people.
I actually was really surprised at how adamant people were about this show and how it kind of like exploded on Netflix overnight, practically. Like the minute it dropped, I feel like everyone was talking about it.
Well, some of us were waiting for it. Like, I first heard of the show because everyone that's close to me knows that basically if anything is, like, horror-related, sci-fi-related, but specifically has to do with, like, kids on bicycles.
That's very specific.
That's the go-to, kids on bikes.
Like, for some reason, kids on bikes and there's, like, an adventure, like, that's it. That's all I want in life. Sign me up.
Sandlot.
So, I kept getting messages from people being like, I'm sure you've already seen this trailer, but it's kids on bikes and it looks like horrible shit you like. And I was like, oh my God. And then I saw the poster and then I didn't watch the trailer because I was like, I want to be surprised. I already know I like this.
That's adorable. Were there kids on bikes on the poster? No, the poster was just totally 80s, right?
No, it was just totally 80s. It just looked like it was an ad for the thing. And I was like, yep, everything's good. Everything's fine.
I'm very excited about this. Well, I had a friend of mine text me and be like, if you haven't watched this yet, go watch it. And I was like, okay. So I had downtime, so I started watching it at work, which was totally mentioned because, you know, what I do. I watched the first 2.5 episodes at towards the end of my day, and I got on the train, and I was like, well, my data plan's not up yet. I'm going to watch another episode. And then I got home and thought it'd be a really good idea to watch it by myself. I live by woods, and I was home alone.
No.
So I got through the fourth episode and had to stop till the next morning because being home by yourself in the dark with woods across the street and weird noises just didn't seem like the smart thing for me to do.
No.
Yeah.
I did kind of this similar thing. So I was working in upstate New York at the time, and I had people coming in. Like, I work for an opera company, so a lot of the opera singers were coming in and talking about it. You're like, you haven't watched Stranger Things yet? How have you not watched Stranger Things? Like, I don't even know what that is. So I hopped on Netflix and watched I think I watched 2 or 3 episodes the first night, and then I had to turn it off and go to sleep because the way that they housed this up there, company housing was in like a renovated motel, and you're in the middle of nowhere. So it's not ideal for watching a show like this in the middle of the night, but it's, I kind of dig the kind of suspense horror, not so much the
gore.
Yeah, not so much the gore, like Chainsaw or Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Any of those are not really up my alley, but like things like this or What Lies Beneath or The Following, like those kinds of things. Oh yeah, I love the heavy stuff. Hannibal was one of my favorite shows.
That's gory though.
Hannibal was not as gory as like The Walking Dead.
I would not have thought I was going to hear a What Lies Beneath reference tonight. I'm
You're
very
welcome.
Excited.
You're welcome.
Ta-da!
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But yeah, it's very much my my genre, I guess, where that's concerned, because it's suspenseful and it's a little bit of horror and it makes you think.
Mm-hmm. That's However, why I can't, I mean, I get that if you're by Woods, maybe, but so many people have told me, like, you must really like that show. I've been watching it too, but I have to watch it during the day. And I'm like, are you sure? Because it's not.
It's not that bad.
No,
it's not scary. Like, I mean, I guess there's suspenseful moments, but I didn't find it to be, I thought it was way more in the vein of like a Spielberg-y thing than
mm-hmm. right. No, like I can agree with you on horror that. Movie. But again, by yourself, glass of wine, Woods outside, not ideal for me.
I don't know if I picked up my glass of wine the first time, so now I'm on board.
Yeah, she was drinking while watching it. I was not, however.
I mean, that's not like, when you say drinking, you make me sound like a lush. I had a glass of wine when I came home from work. It was a very stressful day.
Uh-huh.
This is a real thing. Earlier tonight, I don't even really want to admit this, but earlier tonight, so I'm in the suburbs of Massachusetts at my dad's house. He's moving, so I've been going through the basement. So, like, speaking of nostalgia stuff, like, I've just been in a basement going through my entire life and throwing stuff out and trying to decide what I can keep. But
right.
we got back from dinner a little while ago, and it's like dark out, and it's like in the suburbs, and I'm used to like the city, so I get very excited to be out in the suburbs now, which is like, but it's like right by woods and stuff, and it's on a cul-de-sac. It's like, it is the movie that I want to be in. So I went, I took my younger brother's bike, and I was just going around the cul-de-sac in the dark on that bike. And then I came back, and my dad was like, where were you? And I was like, my younger brother was just like, he takes the bike and rides around the cul-de-sac at night like a freak. And I was like, oh man, you guys, I was in my own little.
Kids on bikes, so that's your aesthetic.
Yeah, man, I was going around that cul-de-sac, and I was just like, I mean, if I saw a werewolf right now, what would happen? I'd probably be murdered, but it would be better if I was prompted into an adventure.
It'd be better to meet a vampire, then you just become a vampire.
That's true, but then you can keep on doing stuff.
Well, if the werewolf liked you, it would just bite you and not eat your heart, and therefore you would become a werewolf, so you could still totally be outside during the day.
Yeah.
Like, a vampire would change your whole, like, life, yeah, because you couldn't be out in the day.
No, watch Preacher. That's all debunked.
Yeah, that doesn't count, though.
Oh, come on.
I need at least two different lores to tell me. Like, yeah. I need the Preacher lore.
I only want one lore for everything. Every time something deviates, I'm like, listen, all I want you to do is establish the rules and then stick to them.
Everyone has to agree.
I just want, we all agreed, and then, like, slowly everything started to change, and now I have to, like, find the new rules, and then, like, the bad movies, like, don't really have any rules, and I'm like, this is bad. I need, without the rules, then this doesn't work.
I need structure.
So they need to create a handbook on, like, okay, you're going to do a vampire werewolf movie or TV show. Here are the guidelines. You can't come up with your own.
No, it has to be like, this is what can happen, this is what can't happen, and this is how you deal with this and how you don't deal with it. And then you can't, like, it can't be like, well, we're six seasons in and we don't know what to do anymore, so we'll just change that. That makes me feel crazy.
The creature lore for the vampire is just so fun. It's not as outrageous as all the others with, like, you know, the holy water and this. The silver bullets and all that. Well, the silver bullets are
but
werewolves.
I still feel like holy water affects all sorts of demonic creatures.
That's because you watch Supernatural.
I do. It's Supernatural Day, by the way.
I know it is. I have a friend I follow on Instagram who posted a very interesting cosplay you would have loved.
You're supposed to send me the thing.
I'm sorry. I was making a dress.
That's all right. I wore my flannel to work today in celebration.
Very nice, very nice.
In honor of, I wore my flannel.
Well, happy Supernatural Day to you and those who like Supernatural.
Of course.
Thank you.
I bid you very happy Supernatural Day. I hope you all.
I bid you more
pie.
Seasons.
Well, yeah. Oh Lord, what is it done now? 10 or 11?
They're going into season
12.
12.
Oh
12.
My! 12. It has now surpassed 11. ER.
It premiered 11 years ago today. Also premiering today was Animaniacs, so I feel like today is a good premiere day.
Doug Paulson!
Hello, nurse.
Yes!
Exactly.
We have a very odd love of voiceover artists.
I'm mildly obsessed, I'm sure I've told you.
That's not odd. I think that's fair. I think that's fine.
But anyway, back to, you know, the topic at hand of Stranger Things.
Oh, Stranger Things.
Sorry, yes. Bella, you know, whatever.
Wait, it was vampires with all in the vein.
Vampire, yeah, I guess. I kind of like that this show, so I had a moment, and I didn't know this, a friend told me this a little bit later. I think I got to episode 4 or 5, and I had a moment where I sat back and I went, you know who would solve this mystery? Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
In, like, an episode. So, like, this is the longest, greatest X-Files episode ever. But I had a friend who was like, oh, yeah, someone famous she follows online said something along the same vein of, like, it's the longest, greatest X-Files episode ever, and Mulder and Scully would have solved it in half the time.
Yeah.
But
it
I
is
like,
an interesting idea. Like, maybe that's what, if the FBI never intervened, this is what would happen. Like, this is what an X-Files type mystery looks like when, like, the local PD tries to
handle it instead of deferring to the,
like,
FBI.
The federal government never gets involved, so now it's just up to, like, this, like, oh man, this very weary sheriff,
who, by the way, I freaking love.
Oh yeah, man, that guy's great.
The moment of true love for me came, though, when he goes to the morgue, and he wants to go see the body. And yeah. There's the guy standing outside, and he's like, oh, I work with... He gives the name of the cop that was on TV saying where they found the body and all that. And the guy's like, I don't work with him. And he goes, okay. And then punches the guy out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, his facial expression is perfect, because he thinks for a moment, like, no, I'm just going to punch.
Do you want to hear something deep cutty about that scene? I think it's that scene. I might be wrong, so people can flip out, but... when he's approaching that guy's reading a book, and he says something like, that's like one bad canine or something. That guy's reading Cujo.
Of course.
He, like, it's a throwaway thing, but as he's approaching, he just goes like, it's one bad canine. And then like I gotta, you know, forgot my hat or whatever. And the guy's like, you can't
throw away stuff like that the director or someone really wanted in there. And it was really super important. And it's the little details like that. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine that I haven't seen in like 4 or 5 months. The other night we went out for a drink and we were chatting about Stranger Things. He had just finished it. And he said that he almost wishes that there wasn't going to be another season because the way it ended was so perfect.
Yeah.
And he makes a good point. Like, the way it ended was the perfect bookend. And I think they did it that way because they didn't know that they were going to get another season. So you know, the creators wanted to make sure that it had a nice
Well, I'm kind of curious if they're picking up with the same characters.
I guess they have to, don't they?
They're casting new people, so I don't know if they're going to add to the cast or if it's going to be like an American Horror Story type thing where it's sort of like...
5 years from now?
Or... So, the thing I heard, which, again, maybe this is wrong, but I had heard that they were thinking if they were going to do a season 2 that they would do like 30 years later or something, but that is actually the plot of It. So I don't know how you do a show that's very close to It and then also do a second season that just completely copies It. But then I guess everybody loved those kids and the cast so much that the plan I heard now is to just keep it continuous. So it's to keep these kids.
But I do know they are looking for other characters, so they
expanding definitely. They're bringing more people.
Well,
but they're not going to get rid of any of those. Those kids, I mean, that kid with the teeth.
Dustin Gatniss, that kid is an amazing kid. I'm in love with him. I want him to just, he's so cute.
He's
a modern day chunk? We can't get rid of that guy.
No. And as I've said, I'm sure to you, Matt, they should never remake Goonies, but this is the world we live in. They're going to remake Goonies. And if they are, they need to do it, like, now, because he's 14 now, and we need to close this window.
Yeah, that kid needs to be in it.
Yeah.
I don't think they should ever remake Goonies, although I was, I didn't see Goonies until I was too old for it to be cool. So I missed out on the giant love of Goonies. I know that a lot of people really, really love it. It's a cult classic, and that's awesome. But I never found my love for it.
I have a Goonies tattoo.
That's awesome! I love fandom tattoos. I do not have a tattoo yet, but, like, I wish... I have a friend who has a bunch of them from the Marvel fandom. She has an SSR symbol on her, like, upper arm, and I just am so jealous. But anyway.
I worked at a theater for, like, a comedy theater in Boston for a long time, and when I left the main stage, the cast had made me this huge poster that was the poster for the Goonies, except it was all of our faces hanging from the rock.
That's amazing.
And it was, it's still framed. I mean, it's the best thing that was ever given to me
that's
in my life.
Cool. That's pretty cool. Definitely.
But that's, they won't, I actually, when I was younger, I wrote a treatment for a Goonies too.
Oh my God.
And I got to find it. It's like real.
I need to read this.
It's like, it was pretty amazing. The idea I still think was a good one. It was like, now they become rich and then they open up like golf courses and shit. Like they become, as adults are like rich people and they like also do that stuff. But then like in the digging of that, like they've like their kids go on an adventure where like the Fratellis get out and like chase their kids through like the development that the newly rich adults have gone through. It's a lot, you guys. Don't worry about it. It's not important.
That's not a don't worry about it. You're on a geeky podcast, sir.
That's true. Thank you.
That is not a don't worry about it.
We nurture these kind of.
Yes,
things.
We do. M is responsible for me finding Star Trek again in my older years.
Yes. I released her Velocitrekkie.
I hid it for about 10 years.
Sure.
I wore her down. It's out now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, very. And in like full force. It's ridiculous. I'm about to get my first Starfleet uniform. It's amazing.
Oh, congratulations on your success.
Thank you. I really hope I have it by New York Comic Con.
You've succeeded.
You know what's another fun Stranger Things thing? Is I feel like anytime you talk to somebody about it, you can tell what the show or movie is that meant a lot to them because that's the thing they compare it to.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a lot of movies to compare it to, but if you talk to somebody, they'd be like, it's like The Goonies except blank, or it's like Stand By Me except blank, or like... You wouldn't believe it. It's just like E.T. but blank. And you're like, oh, I can kind of get a good feel for what you enjoy just based on what you think this is the most like.
It is a good litmus test.
I feel like I'm the only one who wouldn't have a... It's like blank because I watched nothing growing up.
She had horses.
Oh, man, you're one of those? You're a horse girl?
Yeah, no. We always have had at least one. I was kind of the lucky kid who always had got the chance to go to the barn after school every day. So I was not watching... crappy 80s movies.
I've tried to get her on the crappy 80s.
I'm sorry, I take it back. I was not watching 80s movies.
Hey, careful. Some of us didn't have horses. We were just indoor kids, and that's all we did.
I'm a total introvert still sometimes, but I was a total introvert as a kid, so I should have been, but I... Mm-mm.
We tried.
My family
to get
did
her
it
to
socially.
Things.
You forced me to watch Girls Just Want to Have Fun,
which is an amazing thing in itself.
Don't.
Helen Hunt, Shannon Doherty, the guys you never heard from again. Yeah. But Sarah Jessica Parker
when she was like 12.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
In full-on 80s dance gear. Come on.
Mm-mm. It was painful.
We took pictures of her watching it. She really did look like she was in pain.
It was painful. I remember seeing E.T. E.T. always freaked me out. The Sandlot is one that I grew up really loving.
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's a great one.
Which I can see, I guess I could find a couple similarities to The Sandlot in Stranger Things. But the thing I really loved about it was that it's from a time period that you don't see a lot in TV and film. And it didn't take away from it at all. Doing the 70s correctly is really hard, especially wardrobe and hair and everything wise. Because it was such an odd decade for clothes.
Yeah.
It just was. It was an odd decade
like early
for humanity.
80s,
yeah.
That early 80s weird transition.
That like 79, 80, 81 where you were just like, what is this? And I think they pulled it off really, really well. I also had a moment where I was like, wait, Winona Ryder?
Oh my God. I have always had a soft spot for her.
She was Spock's mom and I was just not okay with that either. And then she appeared on this show, and I was like, all right, we'll see what happens. And I actually was very pleasantly surprised.
Didn't Spock's mom, didn't that seem like a sketch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like such, like, I was so, like, I remember watching, like, so you could get anyone, and I know that, I think
anyone.
She's great, but, like, why are we an old person makeup, or, like, why?
Yeah.
Why not just get an old
movie,
person?
Why didn't
this movie
you get
cost
someone...
so much money. Why am I watching Winona Ryder like do a gravelly voice with old person makeup on right now? Like, is this a bit? Is this like on a talk show where they're like, and then we did this with our guests? Because it felt so weird.
And then we do this.
No, I know. I had the same moment. We really could have gotten literally anyone.
But I'm okay with it because that's Lydia, man. I mean, Beetlejuice,
oh,
that chick.
Lydia Deetz.
She's the queen.
I go a different route. She's Jo from Little Women.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fair.
I watched Little Women for Christian Bale.
Well, Little Women.
We all watched it for different reasons.
Yeah, Little Women is just like my family's Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable.
That one and White Christmas we watch every year, and then we oddly enough watch The Quiet Man at Easter time.
Ooh.
I know. Oh. It's because when my mom was a kid, it used to come on TV at Easter time. So would The Wizard of Oz, I think.
Okay.
Yes. So The Wizard of Oz is Thanksgiving, I think.
Yes, Thanksgiving. So we still always watch The Quiet Man around Easter time.
We have seasonal, my family's big on seasonal movies that we watch together, but they're all a little more, they're all a little goofier.
Like?
Like Christmas, every Christmas Eve we watch Christmas Vacation.
Nice.
Like as a group.
Right.
And we watch Gremlins, Scrooge.
Gremlins!
Home Alone.
Yes,
Home Alone.
And Die Hard.
Die Hard. I've still never seen Die Hard.
You haven't seen Die Hard?
No, I've still not seen Die Hard.
I can't believe we're wasting time doing this right now when the greatest action movie of all time.
It is the greatest Christmas movie.
Okay, I promise by the next time you come on the podcast, if you want to come back and we didn't scare you away, that I will have watched Die Hard. I promise.
Okay. Please, like, but do it. Don't, like, watch it. Watch it on, like, a TV. Like, give it its due. You know what I mean?
So, like, I should watch it on the flat screen in the living room, you mean?
Yeah, like, flat screen in the living room, like, at night.
Okay, we have all of them on Blu-ray. Please come over and we'll watch
it. Oh, okay. I'll come up and visit. Whoa. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
The first Die Hard's going to change your life, man. It's so good.
Well, I'm, like, I'm a huge Alan Rickman fan.
Oh, my God.
I know. There's a laundry list of things I've still not
Shoot
seen.
Shoot the glass. You're going to have the time.
Okay, I promise. And to all of the people who are listening to this, I promise I will watch Die Hard.
We, as a group, are going to make sure that you do.
Okay, I know.
Dude, Die Hard affected me so much that when the really awful new one came out on Valentine's Day, I, quote unquote, made the boy take me to it.
Sure.
We never go out for Valentine's Day ever. I was just like, I just want a movie. Like, we'll get a DVD and we'll make food and life will be great. We'll get takeout. And then that year I was like, so here's the thing. This year you have to take me out. And he's like, oh. And I was like, to see Die Hard. And he was like, you're the best girlfriend ever.
Yeah. And right then he was like, I'm going to marry her.
That I think is what clinched it.
That tipped him over.
That was the moment that he decided
that was that when it was forever, real, guys.
That was the moment. I'm gonna have to remind him of that the next time I see him. Be like, by the way, I didn't realize that you going to Die Hard on Valentine's Day was what did it. He'll just go, huh?
Yeah. No, he'll probably be like, oh yeah, and then after you leave, be like, I have no idea what's going on.
Oh,
my girlfriend and I, the first date that we had, I didn't rent movies, I had movies. I have a huge DVD collection, you guys, don't worry about it. This is many years ago, and the two that I had with me to watch were were Sleepers, which is a movie about kids getting molested in jail.
Yes.
It's not only about that, but like, let's be honest, as far as a date goes, that's what that's about. And then The Howling. So it was either Joe Dante's great werewolf movie or this other movie, this like insane drama where Kevin Bacon is touching kids in a prison.
Oh, you said the name.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I have an irrational fear of Kevin Bacon.
You have a fear of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah. I do have a fear of Kevin Bacon.
I love that guy. You know, I just watched Stir of Echoes again the other day. And
that is what tipped me over the edge.
That movie's so good.
Because I saw that and Hollow Man, like, back to back. And just then everything after that, the only thing he does not freak me out in is when he was on Will and Grace. Everything else, he's just angry and mean, even Footloose.
Oh, yeah, he is kind of angry and Footloose.
Well, when Will and Grace was funny. Like,
okay, here's your homework. Watch Tremors.
Oh, Tremors is such a good movie.
Tremors is perfect.
You want to talk about junk movie? So Tremors is a junk movie, and it's great.
I can't believe
Tremors a junk movie again. I'm gonna hang up.
No, I don't mean junk in like that it's crap. I just mean that it's one of those like junk food movies that you sit down and like. I don't mean that it's crap. I mean that it's like. Okay. You need to learn my terminology. Don't hang up on me. I didn't do it.
I'm laughing.
There was a dude running around Dragon Con dressed as one of the worms from Tremors.
Oh,
it was
I saw that.
The best cosplay. Oh my gosh.
He was a graboid.
Yes. It was so good. I kept waiting for the other ones, like the little ones that fly.
Wait, there's more than one, right?
There are three.
Right, and one of them doesn't have to be in Vegas?
There are like five now.
Four? Hold on. Yeah. I've only seen three.
The last one was on Netflix. I think it might have been the fifth one. Michael Gross, like one of the actors from the first one, just keeps being in the like in the new
right,
ones.
Right, but Kevin Bacon's only in the first one. Right?
Yeah, he's only in the first one.
Okay,
so did you say Kevin Bacon's in the first two?
He's just in the first one, and then he's like alluded to. But Bert, like his partner in the first one, is in
Michael
one,
Gross?
And they say like, "What happened? What happened to Valentine?" Yeah. Like, "Oh, Valentine moved." Like they just kind of explain it away in dialogue.
Ah, okay. I never really paid attention to the dialogue in that movie.
Well, that's because what else has that man do except...
Eh. It's a junk food movie, that's why. It's, you know, it's just, it's like, I throw...
It's a 50s B monster movie made now.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's mildly terrifying. Giant worms that eat you out of the ground.
Let's be honest, the most terrifying part is Kevin Bacon.
It's not, Kevin Bacon...
He's actually kind of hot in the first one.
There's five, by the way. There's five.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You just Googled that.
I did.
Well
done. I IMDb'd it.
Ah, yes. It's an even better Richter scale, IMDb.
I know where to look for things.
See, now, Tremors, if they had moved into a bit more of this, like, supernatural-ish, Stranger Things, supernatural, True Blood type deal, it would have been so much better. It's not a bad movie. I think it's great. I loved it. It reminds very nostalgic for me for being a kid. I would watch it with my grandmother, but I think it would have just bumped it up a couple notches if we'd have gotten a little bit of like the Upside Down. Where did the worms come from?
They're prehistoric. They got awakened under the ground.
Like you do.
This is what I mean. It's a junk food movie.
No, man, that's where sometimes monsters just appear. It's nothing you can do about it.
It was dormant for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
I forget. There's a line. There's like...
I like that you just say there's a line.
Well, they dig up eggs at one point in one of the movies. I forget which one. They do find, like, the egg.
The later ones tried to explain more things, and they tried to make more monsters and stuff, and I feel like that's where it fell off the wagon. But that first one's just about,
well,
like...
Well, it's because it started to evolve. Like, the worm went from creature. Just being the worm to, like, these three little things that have legs.
Yeah.
And then it evolves even further, and they fly.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
see, that's, like, what they did with, Alien and... not Predator, but Alien. Like, all of a sudden, it could do all these other sort of things.
And you took away from it.
Well, they also became, like, computer-generated and stuff, and I honestly think it's creepier when it's just that really tall dude in a suit.
Oh, man, me too. I love practical effects.
Practical effects
that was, like, one of my critiques of Stranger Things. I don't know.
You wanted the monster to be practical?
Yeah, I did.
I feel like there's got to be some... I mean, they're great with CGI nowadays, but there has to be some level of a guy in a...
I guess they still did it, and then they added stuff in post. But
the thing that irked me about the monster, the only thing that irked me about the monster was that its face was just a mouth.
Yeah.
So how did it detect anything?
Smell, sound.
You're right. The blood. That's right.
It was blood. It was
a couple times it would have someone pinned against a wall or on the floor, and it would have known exactly where they were. So it just had a hard time figuring out the way it sensed.
Well, they never set the rules and then followed them, you know?
No, and that's true. So, and we all very easily accepted it because still, even watching it the second time around, especially the moment when they're in the house and all the lights go out and they're like, where is it? And it appears behind them.
Yeah.
That moment, I'm still like, oh, shit!
Yeah.
Even the second time. Because it's fun,
mildly
scary.
Terrifying.
Right, but it's the fun type of scary.
Right.
You know, it's not...
It's haunted house scary.
Right. Yeah. And Matt, that you have friends who said they had to watch it during the day. We have a friend who, when she started watching The Walking Dead, could only watch it during the day. Because she wasn't used to that kind of zombie gore horror stuff.
Yeah, that show's super gory. Like, I can't believe what they get away with sometimes.
They
I'm like,
do.
Oh, wow, this
they
is
get
no
away with
longer.
A lot.
Oh, yeah, like, I have to look away for certain things. But
yeah.
The only time it really freaked me out, though, was when Have you watched The Walking Dead, Matt?
Yeah.
I'm assuming everyone's caught up that's listening to our podcast, is when the Michonne stabs the governor in the eye with glass. That's the only time I freaked.
Okay.
Everything else, the zombie stuff, doesn't really bother me that much.
Because you like gore makeup and stuff, so you get excited and go, how did they do that?
I know, I do. I sit back and I'm like, how can I make that happen?
I love gore, so I'm fine with almost all of it. The thing that I found the most disturbing, what was the place they went to at the end of the train tracks? Terminus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when they were all over that bathtub and then they were just one at a time getting hit with the bat and then throat slit and then like putting things, like I was like, this is the most violent thing I've seen.
Andy Lincoln.
And they killed the penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy Lincoln tells a great story about that, that they did not do any real effect rehearsal with that. They just did like they were over the sink and they were like, this is how it's going to happen. And they kind of did it a little. And then the actual reactions on all of them, when they cut the first throat and you hear the blood pour and the blood pour into the sink, those were visceral reactions from the actors because they hadn't heard it before. And it made them all cringe like that.
That's awesome.
He told that story at New York Comic Con or at some convention or it might have been an interview. I don't remember, but I just remember him telling that story, and that was when I was still watching the show. The thing that I already knew to be freaked out about Terminus, because they showed up and Denise Crosby met them at the front door. The end. That woman's involved and it's freaky. It's just never a good thing.
The end.
No, the year after that, she was at New York Comic Con and she sat down in a Star Trek panel and the moderator was like, hey, you know, so what are you all up to? And she just looks at the audience and goes, well, welcome to Terminus. Ew. Ew. Yeah. Go away, Mary. Go away, crazy Mary.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, The Walking Dead, you're right, they do. They get away with... I'm almost surprised it's on AMC with the stuff they get away with. It should be like Stars or Fox.
It's crazy, but it's great.
But yeah, I haven't watched it at all this season.
I kind of
gave up on it, stopped caring.
Ooh. It's hard, especially for the shows that are split in two. Like, so you're like, you watch for a couple episodes, care, and then it's gone again.
And was it you that I was talking to on the phone? It might have been someone else that was talking about that they grossly overestimated human beings' willingness to go through like fleshy spider webs. Was it you?
No.
I was talking to someone then who was like, yeah, they definitely grossly over-exaggerated how many people would be willing to just like, let's walk through the fleshy spider web and find out what's going on the other side.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
I wouldn't. Every time they went to do it, I'm like, nope, not happening.
Well, it was also gross because it kept regrowing.
Yeah.
Like, that was the part that got me. Like, okay, fine, we hack and slash through it, and ew, no. But then it starts coming back, I'm like, no, this was a very bad idea, guys.
Yeah, the only one, maybe Winona, because she's just like...
Well, yeah, because it's a mother on a mission. That's different. But
she was the only one with like crazy motivation. But yeah. Like, I don't know, if I was Nancy hanging out and I was like, ooh, this feels fleshy.
Not happening. No, I saw an unbelievable amount of Winona's character cosplayed at Dragon Con,
as it should be,
and like three people dressed as the wall with the thing coming through it.
That's fun.
A bunch of 11s.
Yes.
So yeah. And there's going to be a crap ton of those at New York Comic Con because she's going to be there. Yeah. She'll be there and...
David.
Yeah.
David Harbour.
So...
You know what? I feel like the best cosplay to do would be to do one of those things, but then also like the reference that it's to. So if someone's like 11 with the like the blonde wig, but then the person they're with is E.T. with the wig.
Yeah.
And you go together and you just like stand together. Like that's a pretty,
that'd be so good.
Someone needs to do that.
Someone might do that. We'll keep our eyes out.
Like someone should be like Demogorgon going through the wall and then someone should be Freddy Krueger coming through the wall. You know, like we just have both of those next to each other and the people are like, we came together.
I'm wondering how many people get the references. I mean,
there was a site, I forget which site it was, which did a whole bunch of them side by side so you could actually see it.
Ah, cool. Oh, cool. I'm going to need to see that. Because I know I haven't seen a lot of these movies. I've only seen like one Freddy Krueger movie.
I mean, I have it up on, I have it on my I have it on my work computer because one of my coworkers is also obsessed, and so we send each other links of Stranger Things.
That's a great thing.
I'm always curious for, like, I'd be curious for you to watch those movies now. It's so weird to me. Like, anytime I see a thing like Stranger Things, I sit there and it's like, it's not difficult because I enjoy it, but it's like a weird thing to just to know all of the things that it's nodding to. And that's like part of the experience. And I don't know what it would be like to like not have seen A Nightmare on Elm Street, but then watch it after. You know, like I'm always curious about like what that, how that changes the viewing experience to be like, oh, now I'm watching The Evil Dead, which I've never seen, but I have seen a million things that reference it. So like, what does this look like?
That's a good point. I haven't seen
Kate, would
of
you
it.
Like to be a case study?
Yeah, could you be a case study? If you haven't seen this stuff.
I mean, this would be
like
kind of a fun
exploration.
Like, well, like a fun blog post series. Like,
yeah.
Kate sees things for the first time.
Because even you, like, you seeing a lot of geeky stuff, but then, like, watching The Goonies not that long, like, as an adult, like, that's a weird, that changes.
It does change.
You
it
didn't
does.
Experience The Goonies at the age when you were supposed to, but then you also had already experienced so many things that aped it, that what, like, those things got your first experience. It's a very, it's like a weird thing. I don't know, you guys.
You did, it's true. I saw The Goonies for the first time when I was 16.
Yeah.
And it's not the same.
Like, I tried to explain to my brother that he's going to really like, my brother's like 15. I was like, you need to watch Aliens. You're going to love Aliens.
Yeah.
If you love Stranger Things, you're going to love Aliens. But he's going to now watch Aliens and like get to Newt being like stuck and crusted in the stuff and be like, oh, that's like in Stranger Things when Will is stuck to that stuff. But he's going to be doing it from the back end, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
You know, I actually just saw Alien a couple months ago.
Who, girl?
Wait, I know. The first one.
Have you seen the second one yet?
Yes. I will say, though, my favorite thing about it was, because I'd seen parts of it, but I never, like, sat down and watched it.
Yeah.
So since we have the box set with, like, all of them, we decided to sit down and watch them. And before the first one starts, the boy turns to me and he goes, I just want you to know, so you're not asking me the whole time. Yes, there is a cat. Yes, it does survive.
That's
Enjoy
great.
The film. And yeah. I was like, because
you would have.
Knowing that.
You would have.
I would have been very concerned for Jonesy. In fact, in the second movie, I was like, where's Jonesy? You're not bringing him with you, but we need to make sure he's safe.
Yeah, Jonesy just has the one, like, dream scene, and it's okay. It, like, looks like it's going to get killed, but it's fine. It's safe. Jonesy's safe.
Jonesy's fine. It's good. But those were my concerns.
The serious concerns. Does the dog or cat survive? Yes, then I'll watch the movie.
But in horror movies, the dog does not always survive.
That's true.
That's Homeward Bound. The dog does not always survive.
Oh. Shadow. Oh,
Shadow.
Goodness. So wow. Sad. Just dated ourselves with that one.
Yeah, by knowing it and caring.
And caring. I mean, you can go further back with like Milo and Otis.
Oh, I had a cat named Otis. Which I know Fox. Is the dog in the film, but it looked like
Fox and the Hound.
Oh, and the Fox and the Hound. Oh.
That one's awful. That is an awful
That was the
movie.
First movie I ever cried my eyes out to.
Should not be a kid's movie.
Aww.
It's still, I think if it was to, like, pop on right now, I would still, that, like, we'll always be friends forever will make me, like, just.
Oh, no.
A pool of tears.
There it goes.
But there's a lot of references to The Fox and the Hound in Stranger Things.
Are they really hearing you just saying that?
Absolutely
I've only
not.
Seen The Fox and the Hound.
Other
one.
Than they are in the woods.
The
so,
woods, and there's a hole in a tree.
Yeah, and there's friendship. So actually, there's more things than I even initially thought.
There's
and
friendship.
There's friendship and a horrible boyfriend.
Yes. Wait, I just want to say that I'm actually kind of pleased with what they did with the Steve character, because you could have just made him the quintessential, like, 80s asshole boyfriend.
Yeah, dude, he was great, man. He painted that stuff back over. He came over. He had Christmas. I was so happy when they made that. He saved their lives. I was so happy when they did
that. He went back in to save them. Like, I'm so happy he wasn't just, like, because the scene with the camera, I thought they might just be making him that asshole, and then she was going to be like,
I thought
no.
so, too.
I really love the weird boy,
It's not just like a good conscious thing, like a cool thing that they did because it's different, but it's also, it's so funny because one of the weirder things about those older movies is that like the bully's always like a sociopath murderer. Like
yes!
Bullies in old movies were trying to kill people. Like it's crazy how evil they were with like no, and there's like no real motivation. Like, you know, it's just like, Scott just an evil Marcus. Thing. So to have the, like the kid, like have Steve be like a douchebag and you're like, oh, clearly he's that guy. But then also have him be like, yeah, but he's also like a human being. So he can like realize right. that sometimes he goes too far. Sometimes he doesn't need to act like this, you know, and you're like, oh, that's actually kind of real.
Oh, you're like a human and not a sociopath. Good,
there was never a moment watching the show that I didn't believe. You know how sometimes you can watch something and you're like, yeah, this is a character. You're not, it's not reality. Yeah. Even though it's fun to watch, like Friends, it's not reality. Like Gilmore Girls, unfortunately.
What?
I'm sorry. Friends is just
I will
not
say
real.
Friends got to be more of a caricature as the show
went on. But like at no point in the series of the episodes of Stranger Things did I ever feel like one of them was just hard to understand or hard to accept, rather, not understand. Hard to accept.
Who was your least favorite?
My least favorite. The useless female character that was in his little band of idiots.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was just
they did have one like crazy sociopath bully. Like his friend was like, "Who? What are you doing?
Yeah,
you or like, what are you guys? Come on."
Yeah, no, but I like all the kids. I thought the kids were fantastic. They're great little actors, and I was blown away by all of them.
Well, my question was, how did they get up there to spray paint that marquee in the middle of the day?
That is a very good question.
Yeah. With no one knowing her character.
You finally found the hole that everyone needed to find.
That everyone needed
there
to fall through.
There needed to be one plot hole, and that was it.
There it is.
Yeah, there's only one plot hole in that whole show, and it's that somebody was able to get up there and spray paint.
And spray paint a marquee in broad daylight.
I can believe in the upside down and all the weird creatures and stuff, but that
it could have happened at night. It could have been the night before, and they were just still hanging out with the spray paint.
Or it could have happened in like the wee hours of the morning, and they didn't. You know, they didn't notice it until they turned the marquee on, or I don't know. But you're right, that is the biggest loophole in the show.
The biggest loophole of the whole show.
There it is.
Because, like, they explain how the monster appears and gets out. And
which, by the way, also props to their teacher.
Mr. Clark?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for just being awesome.
That dude's a hero.
Why are you keeping the curiosity door closed?
That was my favorite line. Why are you keeping the curiosity door closed? And he kept talking. He starts.
One of the only lines I remember is Mr. Clark. That friggin' like this science stuff is neat, but it's not very forgiving. It's like I remember being like, "What an amazing line to give this man." Also, he had a date, and he made that date watch The Thing. And as they watched The Thing, he explained the practical effects to her.
Yeah,
that guy. That's my soulmate. That guy. That guy is exactly.
But also. That date was, she worked at the supermarket that Elle robbed the Eggos from.
Oh, I didn't even. That was the same. And I was so proud.
I was so proud. I was like, yes, because this is a small town, so you would see people all the time. Like,
yeah. That's very fun. I didn't pick up that
well all. Well done, production team. It's like you know what you're doing or something.
Good job. One
also, that actress
day.
Got another day of work.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
The actor dream.
Yeah, right? You're going to bring me back for just one scene and I have no lines? Yay!
Well, yes, but then that actor is with a character who showed up in several episodes, so there's chance for her to reoccur with him later.
Touche.
If they do a season two and he's watching a different horror movie, like he's watching The Fog with her, like if it's a different John Carpenter movie that he's trying to explain to her and they call him again, I am going to celebrate.
Break out the champagne.
You're gonna demand to meet the writer who wrote that episode and wrote it
I'm gonna find all of them and just shake everybody's hand and be like, I know the
awesome.
Thing was good, but like really that paying off that bid. And by paying it off, I mean just making it a bid at all really did it for me.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. That bid alone, you made this show.
Oh my god, I would love that if he's always oh man, that would kill me.
It's shades of you in 10 to 20 years.
Yeah. Just got these kids and I'm like, oh man, come on guys, I'm in the middle of a date and I'm showing her a horror movie, which you know gets ladies in the mood.
Totally.
Isn't that like a misconception though? Like an actual misconception? Like you say it like it's like everyone knows that's not true, but I feel like
but it is kind of true.
But I feel like
I think it depends on the lady.
Day once I had a guy take me to see The Boogeyman because he thought He thought that was going to, like, win him over. And I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, that movie had Lucy Lawless for a split second, so that was kind of worth it. But aside from that.
Sure. Sam Raimi's production company made that movie, so I was very excited to see it. And then I was like, you guys.
What'd you do?
Yeah, what'd you do here?
What did you do? Although
it had some bits that I really liked in it. Like, he was anytime a door was closed, the boogeyman could appear, so his apartment didn't have any cabinets.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have any doors on any of the cabinets. I was like, that is a beautiful touch. I hope this boogeyman isn't a gross CGI. It is. Okay, never
mind. And we're done.
And I'm done here. Thank you for having me.
Well, theoretically, isn't the monster from the Upside Down the boogeyman?
Ooh. Is that what it is?
Well, I mean, anything could be the boogeyman. I don't
know. It's a boogeyman. I mean, Michael Myers is technically the boogeyman. They're all boogeymen.
The thing that hides in your closet.
And boogie ladies.
Boogie ladies, very different.
Very different. A boogie lady, very different.
Is
just
it?
Just as scary, but different.
Just as scary, but okay, I'll take it. So the only thing that I still have a question about is, I understand the thing is from the Upside Down. I understand how they contacted it. But what is it really? Like, I know they keep calling it the Demogorgon, but that's because that's what they have decided to call it from Dungeons & Dragons. Mm-hmm. But what is it really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
That's probably the only question that I'm like, great, we got a season two. Maybe they'll answer it. Doubtful.
No, they can't answer it.
No, if they answer that question, the show is over.
Yeah, you can try. Like, it just doesn't do anything. Explaining that completely doesn't.
But it doesn't. Well, you're right. It doesn't in any way improve the story.
Yeah, it won't, like, help me at all. The like, I feel like sometimes people get, like, hung up on that, but the thing for all those shows that makes them successful, the biggest thing, I think, is just, like, if the characters are likable and great, and, like, you already have, like, all these wonderful characters, and they're doing, like, great stuff, then, like, it's kind of an extra, like, you get a cool monster, cool. Like, the more you kind of, like, shed light on, it's the same reason that, like, I didn't need any CGI on it, because, like, I only needed to see it in bits and pieces, and I hated seeing it in, like, a fully lit room. I was like, don't do that. Just shut the lights off.
You want the air of mystery?
Show me, just kind of show it to me, but, like, once I see the whole thing, then I sit there and I'm like, so what is that, a flower per face? Long human body, huh? That's weird. Like, I just start to, like, look at it, and I don't want to look at it.
Well, that's the Jaws conundrum.
Yeah, you know?
It's way scarier before you actually saw the shark.
Yeah, but then you're so, like, you know, on edge about the thing, and then by the time you do see it and it's like chomping your favorite character in half, you're like, I mean, shit.
That's okay. It?
Yeah. Oh, I was still scared by it.
Oh my gosh, yeah. For the whole...
I still think that looks good. I defend basically anything practical. I defend, like, I had my younger brothers, when I introduced them to Gremlins, they were like, those look fake, and I was like, they don't look fake, they look like Gremlins. That's how Gremlins look. Shut up.
It's a practical effect.
And he's like, no, they look like puppets. And I was like, no, they don't look like puppets. Puppets look like gremlins. Gremlins. So the gremlins are real. That's just how they look. Cut it out.
How old were your brothers when you showed them Gremlins?
Too young. I'm the oldest of five. That's why I have to keep saying, like, different younger brothers. But one of them, I took him to the movie theater to see it because they re-released Gremlins at this, like, cool art house theater in Cambridge. And I took him to go see it, and I forgot... That movie is how he found out there's no Santa. Because we were sitting there together, and then Phoebe Cates gives her speech, and her speech is tagged with, like, and that's how I found out there's no Santa Claus. And he just very, very quietly turned his head to me and looked at me, and I looked at him, and we both kind of just, like, shrugged and then looked back at the movie, and we didn't talk about it, but he had, like, suspected, I think, before, like, you know, he had, like, friends. He was old.
Right.
He was too old to, like, definitely still believe, but it was just, like, I think it was the first time that it had been just blatantly confirmed to him. And we both at the same time just slowly looked at each other, and I was like, this is a really delightful moment.
Well done, older bro.
I feel older really bad about this, but you know what? Also, this memory is going to be with me forever.
Also, Gremlins.
But also, yeah, we're talking about one of my most favorite movies of all time, and my favorite director of all time, you guys, Joe Dante.
Oh, I did not know.
I really crammed all that in there, didn't I?
Okay, perfectly.
That's quite impressive.
Yeah.
See, he's a different kind of nerd. Look, we brought on a different kind of nerd. This is great.
Am I a different type of nerd?
We know like actors. Sometimes we'll know creators. I do wardrobe and wigs in theater, so I know costume designers and things like that. Okay. But we're not really up on the like. This guy directed all these movies, and I love them all.
Yeah. Okay. That's how I sound too, right?
No, that's not. That's not how you sound.
You mean that wasn't you talking? That was Kate?
Yeah.
My impression of you is not that good yet. I will work on it.
Okay, please do. But I think you were pretty close.
No. No. What you said was actually really, it's interesting to hear because we don't always get that. So like, the biggest thing, I did too. I worked at Blockbuster.
Ooh, Hollywood Video.
Ooh, now you really dated yourself.
But that was my first job.
Aww.
Way long ago. Long time ago. What was I going to say?
I just found my purple Hollywood Video shirt in the basement that I'm cleaning out.
Purple? Oh. Mine were blue.
Mm. Yeah, we were purple. Only for a little while. Once I started to work there for a little while, I found my my certificate that they gave me for congratulating me on 3 years of service. So I'm going to keep that forever. But once I had been working there for a while, I just started to wear my own movie t-shirts because I own a crazy amount of movie t-shirts. So I just started to wear those as my uniform and nobody said anything because they were movie related.
Huh. I like your method there.
That's damn awesome. The man. Yeah.
And then they went, damn the man, save the empire. And then the whole place went under. So what to do?
And then the whole place went under.
Oh, you are the reason.
It's your fault.
It wasn't me, man. I was keeping that place afloat. We had regulars that just came in to see me so I could take them around the store and show them the hidden gems. I was a perfect video store employee.
Of course you were.
I'd have people would ask like for a recommendation, and I wouldn't just like say like a movie that I thought was good. I would have them tell me two movies they like, and then I would recommend based on that.
Oh. So you were basically the Randy.
Yeah, I was Randy.
Okay.
I was full-blown Randy. I couldn't watch. I found a movie. I collect. Here's the thing. I don't throw anything out. I'm a hoarder. So I found a whole box of movie stubs. I have a lot of movies. I like never throw out movie stubs. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the oldest ones I found was for Scream. No. I found one from 90. No, but that was from 98. Scream 2. Yeah. 98. But I was so mad because they killed Randy in Scream 2. Spoiler alert. Yes! Sorry. And once that happened, I was like totally turned off because I was like, how dare you?
Well, the third movie was awful, and that's the one that's always on TV.
Yeah.
The first one's never on TV, and that's the best one.
Yeah, I just rewatched the first one recently. That movie's great. But it's another movie that I was watching with a friend, and he was like, some of this stuff is so goofy, and I realized the stuff he was talking about was, so if you think about the first time you saw that movie, you didn't know who the killer was, and part of the fun of that movie was that they kept hinting at other people. There was like so many red herrings throughout that movie of who the killer was. So like there's all these random things where like a random shot of like the sheriff's boots. And he was like, what is this? And I'm like, that's because the boots came down in the toilet scene and these are the same boots. And they want you to think like, why is David Arquette acting like this right now? And they're like, because they want you to believe that David Arquette is taking Courtney Cox into the woods to kill her because you don't know who the killer, like, you have to watch, like, if you watch this blindly again and think of it from that perspective, it's all, like, really fun and kind of genius.
Right.
He said very quickly and then regretted.
No, that was actually, that was one of my first horror films. The first one gave me nightmares and it was terrible and I was off of horror films for quite some time. But Scream was what brought me back into the fold.
Sure. Do you want to hear a fan theory?
Always.
This is for Stranger Things. I'm bringing us to Stranger Things. So
you're so much better at keeping us on task than we are.
So in Stranger Things, there's a lot of posters in the background.
Yes.
So one of them is a poster that I own, which I have signed by Bruce Campbell. But I have that Evil Dead poster.
Of course you do.
And then the dad's like, take that down. It's inappropriate or whatever. And I was like, that's cool. But so here's my theory. I think that that's in there. There's also a poster for The Thing. There's a bunch of good posters in here.
Right.
But I think that that poster is given that extra moment where he says, take that down. It's inappropriate. Because so there's a whole, like, you can look it up, I think, somewhere, I'm sure. But there's, like, it was in a book that Bruce Campbell had written. But, like, there was, like, a little poster war that went on in some of those old horror movies where, like, Raimi had, there's a poster for The Hills Have Eyes and The Evil Dead, and it's
Rick. Yes.
And that was, like, Raimi's reference to in, I think, in The Hills Have Eyes, there's a Jaws poster that's ripped. Mm-hmm. So he was like, all right, Wes Craven, like, well, I'm going to rip your poster. And then in Nightmare on Elm Street, Johnny Depp is watching Evil Dead when he dies. So it's like, hey, like, that's fake horror, but this is real horror. And then in Evil Dead 2, Krueger's, like, knife hand thing is on the wall.
Uh-huh.
In the background. Yeah. And then I feel like this was just kind of like, this was a continuation of all that stuff where, like, and now Stranger Things put the Evil Dead original poster on the wall and called it out as being inappropriate. But that also might just be that they wanted to use that poster because it made sense for the time frame and that was just a funny line. But I feel like they, I'm sure, are aware of that, like, fun little war and that's what they did that.
They are continuing the poster war.
I'm pretty sure that's a valid theory.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. We love fan theories.
Oh, yeah.
We once TV is back, we will start coming up with some of our own.
Oh, very fun.
Evil. Ash vs. Evil Dead is back in October, which Kate doesn't watch yet, but she should.
Kate hasn't watched it yet, no. I know, I've been told.
Ash Wednesdays again.
Ash, I love that she cracks
me. Well, because I don't, it airs on Saturdays and I don't get stars, so I don't watch it at home. I have a friend whose apartment I'll go over on Wednesdays to watch it, and we have a bottle of wine and we call it Ash Wednesday.
Hey, can I come to that?
Sure. See, I have Marvel Wednesdays. Okay. You have Ash Wednesdays. I have Marvel Wednesdays. I don't have cable, and I usually am working nights because I work in theater. So either Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter, when we had it, bring it back. I would watch it on Wednesday mornings with my coffee. So I would have Marvel Wednesdays. But Ash Wednesdays just sounds funnier.
Right? You should have Marvelous Mondays.
I could bring a lot of different Bruce Campbell props. I could bring
You've seen
t-shirts.
It, right? You've seen Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, the Evil Dead movies are, like, one of the reasons that I'm still around.
Did you ever see the stage show?
Yeah, I saw the play. I have a t-shirt for the play. I have the foam chainsaw, like, hand that you can buy. I still have the program from the time I saw it, which was about a decade ago.
Almost. More so. It was 2002,
I think.
No, it wasn't 2002. It had to have been after 2005. This is where I sound like a crazy stalker because I remember a lot of weird dates as they pertain to my life. And I remember I saw it because Brandon Wardell was in it, who I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And I met him while he was doing Good Vibrations, which I saw more times than anyone should really admit. But he was the original Scotty.
Oh, okay.
So I remember seeing it. It had to be like 06 or I think it was 07. But it's actually running out in Vegas now, and when I happened to be out there, I was not the one who made the choice to go see it, but I was really glad the choice was made. They made it even campier.
Oh, I saw your t-shirt.
I have the t-shirt. I wasn't kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
But the year isn't written on it, so that's kind of a bummer.
Is that what you guys went to see when you were in Vegas?
Yes, we were in Vegas, and we went to see Evil Dead the Musical.
Ooh, we saw it in Vegas. I saw the New York one. I bet that Vegas one was sweet.
Well, like I said, the New York one was great. The Vegas one, they somehow managed to make even campier.
Yeah.
They also had, like, pre-show people, pre-show deadites.
That's fun.
Very nice.
I love that. It's been my Halloween costume for many years in a row.
Ash?
Yeah, I always go as Ash.
Okay, we need pictures of this.
Please.
Oh, I can send you pictures of this. I got the good ones.
I've got the good ones.
I get good ones. My Ash cosplay is on point.
See, I've kind of toyed around with doing a female Ash cosplay, but I'm just so afraid of getting the freaking chainsaw in because of the new regulations.
Oh, I know. I have someone you can talk to.
Because if you don't have the chain, I saw people last year dressed up as Ash who got their chainsaw confiscated, and it was just the most pathetic thing.
Yeah, I'll have to see where she got her chainsaw from, but I'll show you a very, very good female Ash cosplayer that I am friends with.
I can show you. Also, if you wouldn't mind showing me that, that would be...
Oh, yes, you're welcome. So love that I'm putting her pictures all over the internet.
Because I do have a picture of an ash, of a girl ash, that I just found one day online, and I just, like, saved like it was a person I knew. But it was just because I was like, well, this is all I've ever wanted.
Yeah, no, well, I'll, when we're doing, we do cosplay...
Fridays.
It's Friday.
Fridays, yes. We do cosplay Fridays on our social media, so I'll link, and then if you follow any of our social media, you'll definitely see it that way, or we'll email it to you.
Oh, no, I will look it up. I can't wait.
This is how we get people to follow us. We promise you things.
We promise you things. Like, maybe we'll have you back to talk about Stranger Things Season 2.
Oh, are you kidding? You guys, I'll talk about anything.
What else do you watch?
I mean, I watch, TV-wise, I watch Game of Thrones. I watch Stranger Things. I just finished Broadchurch. You ever see Broadchurch?
Oh my God, they're filming season 3.
So I just finished season 2, Jesus. So I got that taken care of.
Oh, he's no longer my Mr. Jarvis. I can't.
No, I know.
The end of season, I'm not going to like spoil it for anyone because we know not everyone has watched it, but the end of season 1, of series 1, that reveal, physically retched. Like,
Yeah, it was a lot.
It hurt.
That whole show was a lot, but it was so good. Have you watched The Fall?
I haven't yet.
Oh,
I'm waiting.
Well, if you liked Broadchurch, go watch The Fall.
I know, that's Gillian Anderson, right?
Yes, and Jamie Dornan, who's fantastic in that show.
But X-Files was like a big... My family used to do family night. And you know how some like families had like family game night or whatever?
You had family X-Files?
We had family night, and what family night meant was, like, as a group, we watched the X-Files.
Yes!
And that's, like, what we used to do.
That's my kind of family.
Me too.
And I can remember, like, being younger and, like, you know, when there's, like, school dances and shit, and being like, why would I go to that? Like, it's family night, we're watching it. Like, I remember being that much of a nerd. So, like, I'm happy that she's in another show that's really great, but, like, man, Scully, I just need her. Just need her to be Scully.
She's.
I don't want to see the cup.
I see her do so much other than the X-Files. So, like, Oh, man. Like, she's really. The Fall is excellent. She's great in Hannibal. I saw her in a play back in.
We
May.
Saw.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there.
We saw her in a play back in May in Brooklyn.
What a delight.
She's a very varied actress, and she's really, really good at everything else that she does. But.
She's gone.
The character that she is in The Fall is very, very different than Dana Scully. Very different.
That's what I like about Duchovny. He's just always kind of Mulder.
He's himself. He's always himself.
Sometimes he doesn't believe certain things and believes other things, but like he's always.
But he always believes something.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like he's always got some code, and I'm like, yeah, Duchovny, more of that.
Oh my word.
I watched Aquarius season 1. I finished that recently.
Oh, he was so proud of Aquarius.
So I did watch that. I don't watch like a ton of TV. That's why I watched Ash vs. the Evil Dead, obviously, because I was one of those people who was asking for it for years and years and years.
Oh, yes.
We do a lot of Marvel TV, so we do all the Marvel on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And the stuff on TV. You don't watch any of that stuff?
I watch all of the movies, but I guess I don't watch any of the shows.
Jessica Jones is awesome. Well,
the interesting thing about the Marvel TV shows on Netflix is that's one of the few things Kate and I vary on.
Yeah, okay. It's true.
Because she absolutely loved Jessica Jones, and I was like, meh, it's okay. Meanwhile, I was like, all of the Daredevil.
And I was like, meh.
Yeah.
That's what kind
feel
of
like you guys, you could both get me into it. I actually got superheroed out. So I just haven't watched a lot of that. Watched all the movies, but like even when I watch the movies now, I'm like, all I want every time a horror movie comes out, I get so excited because all I really want is for like 2 to 3 people to be in danger.
If you were to watch the Marvel on Netflix, it's a different Marvel than you're used to. It's a lot darker.
That's great.
And a lot smaller scale.
The smaller scale, grittier.
I just want the smaller scale. I don't want like the whole world. Every time it's like, and then by the way, the whole world might blow up. I'm like, but.
Daredevil's
I just want
like Hell's
four
Kitchen.
People locked in a building.
They are they're nowhere but Hell's Kitchen.
And if for no other reason you should watch Daredevil for the hallway, the first season, for the episode with the hallway fight, it is a continuously shot
Yeah, like it's one. It's one continuous shot, and it is amazing. I'll give you that. I was not a huge. I just Daredevil's just not my thing. I gave it 8 episodes even, and okay. I finally did finish the first season. I haven't watched the second one, but I just blew through Jessica Jones. Absolutely loved it. Really looking forward to Luke Cage, and they've got a bunch of other ones they're going to come out with. Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm. And the Punisher got his own series. Yes, he did.
So there's a lot of really good Marvel coming to Netflix. And the thing about Netflix is that it's they can take away all of the like PG-13 aspect of it and go where they want to go.
Yeah, I love that.
And they do.
Yeah. For the most part.
If there's a one take hallway, do you ever see Old Boy? Old Boy has a very famous like fight scene in a hallway that's one continuous shot. So I assume that they
maybe, I don't know, I've never
that they did that on purpose.
It's that show is
possible.
The way that show is shot is really cool.
Yeah.
Because he's been blinded.
Sure.
So there are moments where they show you kind of what the world looks like from his perspective. It's just really cool. Really cool.
I'm sorry, Ben Affleck is actually my Daredevil, so it's hard for me to.
Okay, well, give it up because Charlie Cox is so much better.
Charlie Cox, I'm sure, is great, but actually, Ben Affleck is my Daredevil. So
okay, now we're gonna hang up on you.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
You're like, I deserve that.
I totally would deserve that if I felt that way for real.
Yes, totally. But speaking of which, I think we're about tapped out, so maybe we should start wrapping it up.
Okay.
Well, thanks so
how
much.
How do we wrap up? Do we thank sponsors? Do we just thank each other?
The sponsor of Kate and M.
Yeah.
Yes, we thank the sponsor.
Thank you to us.
Thank you, Kate and M, for taking the time out of their very busy days of making dresses and hanging out with actors.
Doing what you do, boo.
To be here. No, but thanks for coming on. We had a great time chatting with you. I hope you'll come back.
I will definitely.
And we didn't
come back.
Scare you away.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on. See,
I'll come and do a self tape soon.
Oh,
do it.
But yeah, so anyway, I guess we'll just bid everyone a good night.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes,
of course.
I didn't like Barb. Fuck Barb.
Really?
You just opened up
a controversy.
I waited until the very, very end. I like that guy, that chef at the very beginning. I think he didn't get his due. I was very upset
about him.
I love that guy. That guy was the man. I hope he's in a million more things because I really like him. Barb, I don't care for. Goodbye.
Good night.
Good night.